Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I'm super excited. We have a fantastic guest for you guys today. Tim Lehman is joining us, winner of the toy group at this year's Westminster Kennel Club with Cookie the Maltese, who is darling. And I'm super excited. So, Tim, welcome. How you doing?
Great. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with you, especially right on the heels of Westminster, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when did you get back home? Like just a day or
like
two ago?
Late Wednesday, like really more like Thursday morning. You have the advantage.
I don't think anybody has acclimated yet to their life pre-Westminster this year, right?
It was a full week. I'm just going to say it was full week.
Yeah, when did you arrive in New York?
I got in Friday because I was at the Show Dogs Award where I saw you doing the live stream there. So it was an early arrival and a late departure. So
for me, like my week starts on Thursday for the setup for Progressive Dog Club.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about Progressive. Happy New Year from everyone at Trupanion. As breeders, the start of a new year is the perfect time to set resolutions that prioritize what matters most, your puppies and their future. Unexpected accidents and illnesses can happen at any time, but you can ensure your litters and their new families are prepared for whatever comes their way with Trupanion's exclusive 30-day go-home offer. By joining Trupanion's free breeder support program, you can send your puppies home with their own special go-home offer, giving them immediate medical insurance coverage and protecting them from the moment they leave your care. This year, resolve to give yourself and your puppy buyers the ultimate gift of peace of mind as a member of Trupanion's breeder support program. Just stop by the Pure Dog Talk website, puredogtalk.com, go to the partners page and click the link there. That will let you sign up today and make 2026 the year of happy, healthy pups. Get ready to join us in beautiful Austin, Texas, March 27 to 29 for Pure Dog Talk's Pedigrees to Pups seminar weekend with your host, yours truly, teaming up with Dr. Marty Greer. Marty and I have both presented at AKC's Breeder Symposiums and to national audiences around the country. This joint seminar combines a discussion of pedigrees and building a breeding program with down-to-earth veterinary tips on healthy whelping and raising a new litter. We have purposely built a breeding theory and breeding hands-on seminar that creates an all-inclusive understanding of both the art and science of dog breeding. Our goal is full circle mentoring experience in a small group format that creates community and creates opportunities for conversation and connection. Topics cover everything from the foundation niche, basic health and structure, reading pedigrees, to progesterone timing, semen evaluation, neonates, and a whole lot more. So check out the events tab at puredogtalk.com for more information. Let's do your 411. Like, how did you get to here? Right? Like, there's a story.
Long story short, I remember seeing a Maltese in a window because I'm from Minnesota originally. And I don't know if you know of the Wisconsin Dells in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And there was a Maltese like in this window of like a gift shop or something. That was just like a pet, you know, bouncing around.
Right.
And I just thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And then, you know, I came in fourth or fifth grade and the librarian, because I would go to the library and all I would do was check out the dog books.
Yes.
And, you know, they have some like how to show your own dog and all that. And I was obsessed with these books.
Right.
And one day the librarian said to me, you always check out dog books. You have a dog? And I'm like, no. And she was like, oh, well, there's a dog show coming up, Minneapolis Kennel Club. And she had Scottish Terriers. But I was about, I don't know, fourth, maybe sixth grade. And I made my mom take me. And I just thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever been to. I don't know why I loved it so much. I loved the smell of it. I loved it was in the Minneapolis Auditorium. And yeah. It was, you know, from then on, I was hooked, basically. And then I went to work for Peggy. When I graduated high school, I went to work for Peggy Hogg for a couple of years.
Okay.
And she was the most wonderful person to work for in the world on every single level, especially as I'm older. Mm-hmm. And I realized what a terrific human being she was. You know, she was like an enlightened soul. It was just wonderful. And then not to mention the knowledge that I received and taking care of. You know, her specialty was kind of either poodles and long-coated toy dogs.
Right.
Drop-coated dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where a lot of my training came from. And then, you know, I met up with Tammy Simon, you know, maybe like 15 years or so ago, and kind of formed this bond with each other. And I've had access to some of her great dogs, which has been my good fortune. And here we are.
I love it. Well, we were talking just a little bit off air. I can remember when Tammy was showing the Tickle Me Silly Dog.
Right.
And when I saw, I'm terrible about keeping up with things, but I hadn't really paid attention. And I saw the registered name. I'm like, God, that's got to be. And then I saw her face and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's got to be really.
I mean, she's done great. I think the last count she counted just recently, the number of Tejan Best in Shows on different dogs, because Tickle Me Silly had 103. And then I think it's like up to like 163 or something on all of them.
Oh, my
God. So that's a lot of Best in Shows that she's bred.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I love that. And I didn't get to see her at the show, but I saw photos with you guys. And I'm like, oh, I remember that.
No. She's have a very special relationship.
Talk to me about how that then translated into is it the event coordinator for Progressive Toy Dog Club?
I'm the show chairman. And actually this year I also became the president because Kathleen Colbert, who was the president for many, many, many years, just stepped down at, I think it was 101.
Holy crap.
Yeah. We should be so fortunate, huh? And she was in pretty good shape. Believe me, she could call me and, you know, correct me on something and she'd be right. So great respect for her. Many years ago, I was like a member of Progressive Dog Club, you know, because I'm kind of like I call myself like a boutique dog handler because I do have another job and I don't go to, you know, 100 and some shows a year. I go to maybe, you know, 2 weekends a month, et cetera. Anyway, and so I lived in New York City at the time. I don't anymore. And Bill Blair, I don't know if you know who Bill Blair was. He was involved with, what was that dog magazine? Was it Popular Dogs? One of the dog magazines. Anyway.
Okay.
He was involved with Progressive Dog Club, and he was the show chairman for many, many years. And then he made me the assistant show chairman. And I thought, well, isn't that nice? That was probably, 10, 15 years ago now. And I thought, well, that's nice, isn't it, of him, you know?
Yeah.
Not realizing that, like, oh, this means I have a lot of responsibility.
Now you're going to be in charge.
Yeah. But it's been great. You know, we have a fantastic team and fantastic new generation of people who have joined the club who are great, great workers.
And I think that's so important. I mean, Progressive is such an iconic piece of like Westminster history because the show's associated with it.
Right.
And, you know, like drop coat breeds, terriers, rough coated terriers, we're not seeing as much involvement from young people, you know, because there's a lot of work there.
Right?
This isn't just a Labrador. Absolutely.
Yes. I don't know, but maybe it's because kids have more interest today than we did when I was a child. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the internet. Maybe if I had the internet,
none of us
I would have like taken to this, you know, like water. But then again, I always liked the hair. I mean, I like the hair and I love the dog. So you can't find that on the internet.
No, you can't. And I think that's a really cool sort of spinoff. Talk to us about your day job, because you have kind of a cool day job.
I'm a hairstylist.
At a very shishi, place and
outside. How do you know that?
I do my research, honey.
I have a small little day job that I work a couple days a week at that place. Yeah, I do. But, you know, since probably no one from that world is going to be watching this, my dog is really my passion.
Well, you know, you got to have a day job. You got to pay the bills too.
Well, I prefer to, in the sense that, you know, when I was younger, I thought I wanted to be a professional handler, which is why I went to work for Peggy Hogg. Mm-hmm. And for me, I just found it a little bit too hard of a life for me, you know, being on the road all the time. I like the balance. You know, the only drawback for someone like me who has a job is that, you know, I'm probably not going to have the number one toy dog in the country. I mean, Cookie ended up being the number four dog in the country this year. But I think we only were, I mean, I'd have to look for sure, but I think it was under 50 shows, you know, so that's not very many to be the number four toy dog.
But obviously, we would have had to. Think about this for a minute, Tim. Think about this. Think about, I mean, we do rankings in this sport. We do all kinds of crazy stuff, but think about percentages, right?
Oh, yeah.
Stop and think about that. If you can be the number four toy dog at a third as many shows or less.
Absolutely.
That's an incredible percentage.
And also there's the piece with a breed like a Maltese. You know, back in the day, like when Peggy Hogg showed Maltese, we didn't have as many shows. So you didn't have to worry about losing the hair or dog not looking so great. But now that we have, you know, having a 4-day weekend is just rather normal. That's a lot of wear and tear on Maltese hair. And if I'm convinced that if I was showing Cookie 4 days every weekend, 52 weeks a year, her hair would not look like it does because it's impossible.
That's such a great point. Talk more about that because the Maltese coat is so delicate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, she gets a bath every morning she's shown and just the heat from the blow dryer and drying her can break the hair. Obviously we're not on carpet all of the time, hardly ever.
No, you're not.
We're in a lot of venues that are not conducive. So she might even have to have a bath after she's shown because it's so dirty. So it's just a constant, it's a 24/7 job in keeping her clean. But even with that said, every little thing can break the hair. The wrong kind of matting or just the dirt itself, you know, brushing it, brush dirty hair, it breaks.
Yeah.
And I've also kind of ruined enough dog's hair because of that, that I know.
Yeah.
Like when it's like, okay, we've got to pull back a bit here, you know, and save this.
So talk about, I mean, this is a great segue into, so what is the routine? I mean, she is in glorious coat. Just
thank you.
Beautiful.
You know, the biggest secret to having a dog in great condition is what we do at home. Mm-hmm. It's not the 2 hours getting her ready for the show in the morning. It's what has to be done every day on a daily basis. I mean, she gets wrapped once a day, obviously, or maybe even twice sometimes, but it's also always checking in on her. And if something looks funky, whether it's her face looks a little wet or the wraps look a little askew, of like getting up on the table and correcting it right then and there before anything gets out of hand. So, I mean, I've never left her more than probably more than 12 hours at a time. I mean, like if I've had, you know, she's been home and I had to go do something, I've just always, you know, watch her like a hawk. And there's not any secret ingredient as far as shampoos and conditioners. Mm-hmm. Yes, some you like, some are better than others. But the best knowledge is taking care of her, you know, just every hour of the day, staying on top of her. Mm. With just simple, you know, brushing through her so she's not getting matted. Mm-hmm. As simple as that.
Mm-hmm. And conditioner.
Sure.
I mean, that's obvious.
But then you don't want to over-condition a dog either by putting on a bunch of conditioners. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of it is knowing when to pull back then too. You know, for me, I try to keep the hair as virgin-like as possible, you know, so it's not destroyed.
I love that.
Yeah, but it's true, you know. Because once it's destroyed, it's very difficult to get it back. It's nearly impossible, and you lose the luster of the hair, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, Cookie does have beautiful hair to start, so it makes my job easier.
Truly.
I wouldn't take a dog on that didn't have, you know, somewhat nice hair.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the breed, right?
Exactly. And I'm a real stickler that they have to be white. That's the characteristic of the breed. I love the breed and always have.
And do you show other breeds besides Maltese, or is it just Maltese for you?
I have not in a million years. I had an IG that did some best in show winning about 20 years ago. Obviously, my first best in show that I ever got was on a Shih Tzu. And obviously, when I worked for Peggy, I showed other breeds. But in my life right now, I'm only have shown Maltese. I mean, it's just worked out like that. You never know if one shows up on my doorstep of a different breed. I might say, okay, you know.
You know,
it's also, you know, the association with Maltese and knowing them like the back of my hand, that takes so many years. you know, of just intuitively knowing what the next right step is. And then also, you know, with great respect to Tammy Simon, you know, I feel a certain allegiance there also, just because we've been able to do this together. It's been a team effort.
Mm-hmm. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
All right, you guys, the stunning Doberman Pinscher Penny has earned a spot in history as the best in show winner of the 150th Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show presented by Purina Pro Plan. Penny, who is fed Pro Plan Sport Performance 3020 chicken and rice formula, has also etched a place in Pro Plan history as number 19 of the past 20 Westminster winners fed Pro Plan dog food. In 2025, Penny was one of the 96 out of 100 top show dogs fed Pro Plan dog food, the top choice of owners and handlers of show dogs. To learn more about Pro Plan dog food fed to show champions like Westminster winner Penny, visit purina.com/proplan/dogs. The rankings noted above are based on Dog News Magazine's Top 100 Dogs, AKC All Breed Competition, and Reserve Bests in Show through 12/31/25. Like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk is here for you to make sense out of everyday things, to add nuance to your understanding and tools to your tech box, to bring history to life and propel the living history of purebred dogs into the future. So, serious observation. What do you guys think I hear more often than crooked judges and professional handlers win everything? I hear a continuing cry for community. So, for folks who are looking to have meaningful conversation, avoid keyboard warriors, and join a welcoming and knowledgeable group, we offer you an option. Forget about spilling the tea. Drink from a well of thoughtful and thought-provoking dog people. Pure Dog Talk patrons support the work we do here by contributing to our crowdsourcing campaign. For as little as $10 a month, you can keep the MP3s rolling here at Pure Dog Talk. You can contribute to the future of purebred dogs by building the fortunes of the Marty and Laura show. You can gain access to a private Facebook group, private After Dark Zoom room, and private Laura Unleashed podcast episodes. Even your own Pure Dog Talk digital badge. Visit puredogtalk.com/patron to find out how you can join the best community in dogs. Well, and I think that's an interesting conversation too, Tim, because you are, as you say, a boutique handler. I can think of only a few that really specialize in a breed, you know, like a Barry Clothier with pugs or a Keith with Weimaraners, right? The person that's just so focused on that specific breed and that relationship with one breeder. So talk about that a little bit and the pluses and minuses with it.
Yeah. And then just to be, you know, for full transparency, I have shown Maltese for other people too, mm-hmm. but I've had, I don't want to say the greatest success with Tammy, but we've had the bigger winners have been mm-hmm. dogs that Tammy bred. You know, the thing is that's evolved, that's very special about that relationship. And probably the most important is that it's a personal relationship also, right. You know, we're really family. Yeah. And that comes before the dogs, or that comes before if I was to show a Maltese for somebody else, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what I value the most, I think. Mm-hmm. And obviously there is a trust there on both sides, you know, for us. And I know that she knows that I take care of her dogs just as she would take care of them. And they're basically spoiled pets, basically, you know, with a little bit of a boundary. You know, so I value my friendship with both of her owners. I love them both, you know, dearly. Yeah, they're just family, and it's just super important to me, that relationship.
And it's very different. I mean, you work for Peggy, so you know what it's like to have a truck with 20 or 30 dogs. It's a really different life.
I do. I mean, like when I worked for Peggy and she had a Maltese special, she had great assistance. No, but we were really...
Right.
And she didn't show 20 or 30. She maybe showed 10 or 15.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, for a Maltese, it's really difficult for an all-breed handler to show a Maltese unless you have, you know, a great assistant or two who is you have trained in that type of a breed. It's nearly impossible. You know, I can be up at 4 in the morning, 9 out of 10 shows, unless we're late in the afternoon, but we're usually not, you know, because she gets the bath every morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If I didn't do that, that's when you would start to lose more hair too.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I love the conversation about just the specific coat type that is Maltese. So for
yes.
people who don't do drop coat breeds or don't do a yeah. lot of toys, talk us through, because a Maltese, a Shih Tzu, a Lhasa, those are not right. the same hair.
Right. A Maltese is single coated and silky. Right. Mm-hmm. The standard says a number of times and laying flat to the body.
Yeah.
Okay. Not poofy, not kinky, not woolly. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, obviously a Lhasa's coat texture, I believe, can be rather hard. Mm-hmm. And obviously a Shih Tzu has an undercoat. So the Maltese is unique. It's not as like a Yorkie coat quite because mm-hmm. it's a little bit, well, I mean, it's softer possibly. And I mean, a Yorkie doesn't have as much hair per square inch, I believe, or the hair's not as, I don't want to say fluffy, light. Maybe a Maltese hair is lighter
okay.
than a Yorkie's.
Okay. Right.
So single coated. Line flat on the body mm-hmm. and silky. Some people say, I don't know if you know who Mary Day was. She was a very revered Maltese breeder on the West Coast. She trained a lot of judges when she did her judges mentoring that the hair should feel cool to the touch.
Right.
Now, that's not in the standard, but a lot of judges will tell me that when they feel cookies, you know, texture, mm-hmm. they'll be like, oh, Mary Day taught me that the coat texture should, or that coat should feel cool to the touch. And
right.
I loved Mary, so that is wonderful to hear.
And I'm going back to the idea of the hair being virgin. Like, that is just such a novel way to hear it. And coat growth is variable between individual dogs.
Yes. Right. Just like as in people.
Yep. Exactly. Like, my hair doesn't grow. The work to keep it, I mean, to grow it floor length and keep it virgin, that is just to me a specific. I know a lot of people I talk to about drop coat breeds talk about using distilled water, you know, those kinds of specific tools.
I don't go that far as using distilled water. I mean, I have a purifier on my water at home. And of course, mm-hmm. there'll be the occasional hotel that I stay at where I think like, gee, did this like, you know, is there some color on her coat because of the... And then you just use a clarifying shampoo to bring it back to its original state.
You don't have brands that you're like deadly loyal to, like everyone has to use this if they have a Maltese.
Well, not really. I just use basic gentle shampoo and conditioner. Like I said, the most important part is keeping it as simple as possible because some of those conditioners will mess your hair up too, because what works on a person's hair, as I know, does not always work on a Maltese whatsoever. I would say that most newer people are using way far more products than I do. You know, like if you were to come and look at my shampoo drawer, it's like you probably would be amazed at how simple it is.
I love that.
It's like,
and
people really, they need to breed. I don't want to, it's easy for me to say I'm not a breeder, but you need to breed good hair.
Yeah.
If you have good hair, you're okay.
Tara Martin, I had her on, and that was her thing, the genetics behind it. So
right,
expand on that, because I think people miss that point.
Well, I mean,
and
like
get wrapped up
result,
in, you know.
Yeah, Cookie is the result of like six generations of consecutive national specialty winners.
Mm-hmm.
And even like a dog that Tara showed a few years ago, his name was Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy bred a bitch to him that produced a bitch that I showed, Justine, who was a national mm-hmm. specialty winner in about 12 best in shows. And then we bred her to, I had her here in my house. We bred her to this other dog that I had called Snapshot, who was another best in show winner. And that produced Cookie's grandfather,
okay.
who won a national specialty from not the puppy class, but like the open class.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. you got to go out and like Tammy breeding to Tara's dog,
right.
you know, you got to do that. And then here we are, you know, six generations later, and
right.
we have a result of Cookie.
I know when I was handling and had breeders that I worked with closely, I was actively involved in breeding decisions. Is
yes.
that something you get to do?
Absolutely. And sometimes we totally disagree. And I will, no, but we agree to disagree. of course, I think I'm right. and, you know, Tammy Simon, she thinks she's right, too.
Right.
But that's a great combination. I feel like it's my responsibility to speak my truth.
Right. And okay, how does that play out in the whelping box, right? So fix it in the whelping box, not in the tack box, is one of my favorite sayings. So talk more about that. So like, if you're right or she's right, who's
you know, I have to say, I don't want you to say that I'm rather naive about the whelping box in the sense that in Maltese, we can breed two dogs that have the characteristics that we desire and that have the characteristics. And we don't always end up with them in the puppies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
An example would be tails. Tammy and I both like a very like high arch to a tail. And I don't know if you've looked at Maltese much, but a lot of them have a very tight, almost like pigtail. Mm. And to me, that ruins the balance of the dog. And so because we were so focused always on having that, what we think is the correct tail, you know, we can breed two dogs with great tails and tails behind them and then still end up with getting some, you know, like pig type of tails. So I don't have the answer for that. I'm a bit more confused. I think the more I know, the less I know also.
Is that not, I think, sort of the hallmark of those of us who've been doing it for a minute?
Yeah. And then the accidental breeding produces the great one.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think probably the biggest thing for me is to let them grow up and mature. Mm. And I think a lot of people, and especially in Maltese, because they take so much work and care, that nobody wants to wait until they're 3 years old to see what you really have because they're slow maturing.
Oh, interesting. You
know? Structurally speaking.
Interesting.
You know, I think a lot of good dogs, a lot of dogs that maybe fall apart for a little while, if we had just not cut them down and thought like, well, they're finished, maybe, you know, when you see them at 3 or 4 years of age cut down, it's like, God, they look really good. We should have kept that one in hair.
That is so interesting. So there's two things I want to talk about there. Number one, toy breeds typically mature quickly. And
right, compared two, to... Sure.
Yeah, compared to, like, you know, my breeds.
Yes.
Number two, you say once it's cut down, that's it. It's never going to grow hair again.
Well, if you really wanted to, of course, you have a year and a half at least to spend to grow the dog out again. It can happen.
Okay.
But what chances are the reality of anybody really doing that? Mm. Yeah.
It's that challenging. Yeah.
Well, if the dog is 3 or 4 years old and it's cut down, by the time you get it grown out, it's going to be 5 or 6. Mm. You know, so then the game's over.
So that's a really interesting segue to, you know, Cookie. You've got a bitch.
Yes.
She's, what did I see, 3, 4?
She just turned 4 in January.
And so now what? Like, if you're going to breed her, you're going to have to cut her down, right?
Well, yeah, sure. But I mean, you know, Tammy's primary focus has never been, first of all, she's in the process of retiring her breeding program. Mm. So yes, we'd like to have a litter out of Cookie, but that hasn't been her primary purpose. It's more like, let's just show her and have some fun here, you know? Yeah.
Because I just see that being a limitation, you know, to having a really great bitch, right? You can't breed it and then take it back out and show it like you can in my breed.
No. I mean, yes, you could technically, but it's a lot of work. And
not a thing.
You know, it's hard on the female who's whelping the puppies and trying to keep her in hair. You know, yeah.
Amazing. So, okay, top three, we'll call it three. Top three tips for people, young people, old people, however, wherever you are in your life, who want to become more involved in either Maltese or any of the drop coat breeds. What are like some strongest suggestions for someone who does it at this level?
If you have the opportunity in your life, go work for a professional handler who specializes in drop coated dogs. I mean, when I worked for Peggy, how we held the brush was scrutinized. I mean, every little detail. There is so much of what I do today that is still from that time. We dried a dog a certain specific way. It was not random. Okay. A lot of that, you know, you just have to, even if you have a summer vacation and a person can go work for a handler. And I mean, I don't think a person has to necessarily be fresh out of school. Even if you're older and you have a job, gosh, you know, just accompanying a handler to a bunch of shows on the weekends or something would be really great. That would be number one. Number two, I hope you love it. If you don't love it, don't do it, because it's a labor of love. You know, in some ways, it reminds me almost, what are those things called that monks do? Like, are they called mandalays, where they make the shape out of sand, all the beautiful things? Mm-hmm. And then what do they do when it's done? They just destroy it, and it's all over. Mm-hmm. I kind of think of having a Maltese and beautiful hair like that, because you spend all of this time, endless time, just nurturing it, and then one day it's all over, you cut the dog down.
I think I would cry. So, honest to God,
labor
I think
of love. So labor of love would be number two. Mm. And number three.
Aren't you glad I didn't ask for five?
Yeah. Well, you're never going to go on a European vacation as long as you have a Maltese in hair, or you're not going to the Caribbean for a week, okay? I can't think of the third one, what it would be. Seek as much knowledge as possible from those whose dogs look their best. Yeah. When I saw Peggy Hogg when I was a younger teenager, and I saw her at a show and the condition of her dogs from a distance, and I was like, I think I want to learn from that person. Mm. You know, if you see someone like that, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Learn from the best is always going to be the right answer.
Yeah. You know, and look at the old dog books on that too, for young people too. I mean, even though everybody's so invested in online and Facebook and Instagram, which is great, and there's a big place for it, at the same time, you don't get the history from that. As you know, when I was a kid, and maybe when you were younger too, you know, every night when I was in bed, I would be like, you know, going through my dog books and, you know, and I could like tell you, I could recite pedigrees.
By like flashlight.
If an older person wanted to know about the third or fourth generation or even fifth of a certain dog, I would know. I don't anymore. But but I used to, because I was obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the same online.
I think that, as far as the history, obsessed the with dog. It, that kind of to me is it in a nutshell. If you're going to be at the highest level, if you're going to be winning the garden with a Maltese, with any breed, you are going to be obsessed, because it's the only way to be successful.
Yeah, but then, you know, I think like Andy Litton winning this year was so great, besides his dog being so deserving, but because he's such a great individual.
Yes.
And I think you got to go down that route too. I think you got to try to be a good person and help people, and you can't be obsessively cutthroat. I don't care for that for myself. And I think that's an important part of this whole game, you know, to give back to the community. I mean, the same with progressive. I mean, I don't do it because I needed to work really hard before Westminster, but it is my way of giving back to the community is why I do it.
You know, the interview that I had with Andy that dropped this week, and the idea of staying in the path of kindness, the way of kindness, would the world be a better place, man.
Yeah. I think anybody who's been around for a long time realizes that, yes, it's great to win and we all want to. It's what we're here for to a certain extent, but it's not the most important. I mean, I think like someone like Andy, you know, showing such great life lessons, you know, and the way he conducts himself is so inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody.
And that's what I think was so touching. Yeah. And that's what I think was so touching about the Best in Show lineup is that.
Amazing.
I mean, my experience with every single person in there, including our judge, who, you know, we all know on some level, because it wasn't that long ago he was showing dogs, you know, he's a great guy.
Yes.
You know, and everybody in there, we've all competed throughout the year and everybody is great. And, you know, it's a great experience when we feel like that about each other.
Yes.
And happy for the person who won, or persons who won.
Yes.
Truly happy.
Truly happy. And that, so for my closing question, talk about that, because sitting in the front row, looking at those dogs, knowing all of the people, all of the judges who put them there, and thinking, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot fathom the challenge that David had. Talk about how it felt to be in that company, because it was an all-star lineup.
I mean, to say it was an honor is an understatement.
Right.
It was truly an honor. It was a verklempt moment. I think it'll be an event that will be a memory that will last me for my entire life.
Yeah.
You know, and being in there with David, who we all, I'm sure every one of us feels the same way about him. We respect
nicest man on the planet.
And I truly wanted him to pick the dog he liked best, and I was happy that he did, and happy for the people who won, really, you know? Yeah. And what about the enthusiasm in the garden?
Yes. Did you notice that too? No booing. There was not a single bit of booing. I was so like, holy crap.
This Westminster Kennel Club this year did so much, I think, for purebred dogs.
Yes.
I mean, like, wow. All of the things online on social media about Westminster Kennel Club has been off the charts and all favorable. Mm-hmm. It's just one big wow. I mean, I think purebred dogs look really, really good to the public right now because of Westminster, what they did this past weekend or past week.
I literally knocked it out of the park. I mean, I was so impressed with the crowd. I was impressed with all of the extra little things, you know, the Kathleen O'Hara thing. They had to put that together at the last freaking second, you know.
And everybody, you know, who I know who's not in our dog world, you know, one of the first things they always say to me, oh, have you seen that movie Best in Show? You know, it's like... And it's like, yeah, you know, of course.
Well, and as a handler, I was an all breeds handler. I have shown dogs for every single one of those stereotypes.
Exactly. I think I'm one of them, too.
Yeah, you might be one of them.
Pretty sure I know which one. You know, it's like, ugh. Oh, well. Love myself. Love myself.
Oh, my God. That's precious. I love it.
No, but and the attention to detail that Westminster did is just like, wow. I don't know how they did that. It's just one big wow.
Yeah. You know, Don Sturz, God love him, my friend.
Absolutely. Exactly. He's like right there with Jesus, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right there with Jesus, Saint Don.
But seriously, like how he pulled, you know, and I don't want to say pulled it off, but just like, you know, I mean, just even like when we came out of the group ring, after winning the group, there was a separate envelope with the instructions for the next day, you know, as far as the benching procedure and all of that. Just so there was like, there's no questions here. I mean, it was like all, you know, just fantastic.
They
all those little details.
Spotlight back.
The spotlight was back. And I wasn't sure how that was going to go. You know, that's a lot for a little toy dog to maneuver.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
staying in the, well, not just the dog, you got to stay in the spotlight.
I wasn't worried about me. I was just worried. And also Maltese have very sensitive hearing.
Oh, interesting.
And so all of the noise in the auditor, the stadium is.
And
like
it was huge.
Huge, huge, huge. Yeah. But it was great. It's great.
Now, she held it together. She was fantastic. So,
was.
Tim, thank you so much. It is really a pleasure to get to visit with you.
A pleasure to get to know you. Okay.
All right. Well, you have a fantastic year. Best of the luck going forward. And we'll catch you on the flip side. All right.
Thank you. Same to you. Same to you. Thank you.
All right, you guys. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.